This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome back to Market Talk, where we take a brief look at what's front of mind in financial markets. In today's episode, we'll be looking at that decidedly more hawkish statement from the US Federal Reserve, the soggy trend in commodity prices, and what to expect from the flash PMI surveys and the Bank of England meeting this week. And who better to talk us through it all than Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us on the line from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hello, how are you, Francis?
Yeah, not too bad, despite the soggy weather here in the UK. Thanks for asking. Now, talking of soggy, shall we kick off then with the US Federal Reserve statement? You said it would be one to watch. You weren't wrong. How key was it exactly?
Yeah, that was the last of the three important bits of data that we were building up for, wasn't it? So we had the payroll report in the US, a jobs data, which was a bit disappointing, I suppose. We had inflation in the US, which was a lot higher than expected. And I think that probably was the thing that got the Fed reacting in a more hawkish way. So by hawkish, what I mean is that they lay out what they think the interest rate trajectory is going to be over the next couple of years. And this time around, they said they moved from predicting zero rate hikes in 2023 to predicting two rate hikes in 2023. It seems a bit weird, and it's only two rate hikes, and it's in 2023. But that certainly made an impression on investors, because previously they'd been talking about, you know, being as dovish, allowing the markets to continue as long as they want. And all of a sudden, that is a bit of a change, isn't it?
The fact that, you know, we've always talked about transient inflation, haven't we? And maybe the words permanent could be creeping in. I don't know, maybe too early to tell. But we have, of course, had some pretty hot US data recently. Could that have been a cause in the reason for Jay Powell's tone?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I mean, they're looking at the same data that we are. And they've looked at that inflation data. They've looked, we had strong retail sales data, industrial production. We're getting durable goods data this week, which is going to be strong as well. The US economy is really doing extremely well. As you say, we're getting, you know, some of this transient inflation, the chatter being, well, maybe it's a little bit more permanent than we'd hoped for. And I think if that's on that basis, you've got to be realistic and go, well, on that basis, we do probably have to predict more interest rate hikes going forward. And that's what's happened in market pricing. What we've seen is shorter dated interest rates, so sort of up to 5-year point on the Treasury yield curve. Those yields have gone up over the last couple of days quite considerably, predicting therefore that, you know, interest rates might be hiked. But interestingly, at the long end, so 10 years, 30 years, in particular interest rates, they've fallen. So it's almost investors are going, yeah, you probably do need to hike interest rates sooner than we thought. But also you're probably going to keep inflation under control. And therefore, in the future, you probably don't need to see the highs that we were previously worried about. So, you know, the Fed has suddenly gone from allowing all sorts of inflation and the market to be as strong as possible to just reining it in and focusing on that inflation risk.
And what you've just described then, picture-wise in my mind, I've got a flattening of the yield curve, which, of course, as we all know, indicates slowing growth.
Funny enough, it's usually the best predictor of a recession if the curve really flattens. We're not there yet. But, you know, when the curve flattens, that means that the Federal Reserve is having to hike interest rates early. But investors are thinking that longer term, you're going to have to cut them again because we're going to be slowing down. Like I said, we're miles away from that being a fear, but we've definitely tilted in that direction. As well, we've seen quite a strengthening of the dollar over the last couple of days as the Federal Reserve has been, moved towards that more hawkish tilt. So higher interest rates may be attracting more dollar flow into the US. You add those two things together, well, you add three things together, higher interest rates at the short end, we've got curve flattening, we've got a stronger dollar. All those things are negative generally for risk assets. And we've seen that from the equity market correction over the last couple of days. Again, I don't want to overplay it. It's a couple of days. It's a reaction to one statement. The Federal Reserve this week, lots of people are speaking from that group. They're going to be reflecting, reacting to the markets, and potentially they'll be reining some of this back. So let's not overreact. But it's definitely a big, an interesting shift.
Yeah, and you talk about that quite chunky move in the greenback, the US dollar, and the flip side of that, Ben, really typically is soggier commodity prices. And of course, we have seen soggier commodity prices as well, haven't we?
Interestingly, commodity prices were probably predicted. Well, you know, what's predicting what, isn't it? But definitely they were front running the moves that we've seen in some of the other parts of the world. So we had an amazing run for the beginning of the year and towards the end of last year, of course, and things like, you know, the industrial commodities like copper and iron ore and all that sort of stuff. Just over the last few weeks, they've really started to correct, and sort of 10% moves down. Started actually with China worried about these price hikes that we've seen in some of these commodities impacting their ability to grow. You know, the increase in prices is an issue, isn't it, for particularly China that buys an awful lot of this stuff. So they were trying to get a grip on these prices. They were trying to increase the supply. They were trying to reduce the demand for this, and that started the fall. And that has been exacerbated by, as you say, some of the moves that we saw post the Federal Reserve. Very interestingly, we haven't seen it in oil, though. Oil is still strong. It's only sort of commodities excluding oil so far where we've seen a bit of the correction.
Okay, so we talked about inflation pressures in the US. Of course, this week we've got a meeting of the Bank of England. I mean, we have less inflationary pressures over here than they do at the other side of the pond. But what's likely to be on the agenda there then, Ben?
I think people have been a little bit surprised by the Federal Reserve moving hawkish, but in reality, it was a small shift, wasn't it? We've seen the European Central Bank also increasing some of their forecasts going forward, but again, not really changing their policy. I imagine we're going to see something similar with the Bank of England, acknowledging that things are better now than what they were worried about a few months ago. I mean, we've got the Delta variant, etc., so we're not totally out of the woods, but things have definitely improved over the last few months. But I doubt if they're going to change anything in terms of the amount of quantitative easing they are doing on a flow basis or even the stock. I think it's still too early. So it'll be a small improvement, but no big change, I think.
Okay. And also out this week, the flash PMI surveys. I mean, I I'm having to picture in my mind's eye that the Global City Surprise Index, which I know a lot of fund managers set store by, and that's firmly in positive territory. So what are we expecting from the flash PMIs there?
Yeah, so far, as we've said before, most data has been better than expected for a long period of time. We could be reaching a bit of a period where it's hard to beat these sorts of expectations. Maybe we've reached that, and maybe these PMIs, which are sentiment surveys at the end of the day, so it's not 100% accurate in terms of telling you what's going on with activity. It's just people's sentiment about it. But they might struggle to keep beating expectations. Maybe they'll just plateau, but at very high levels. Like I said before, the global economy is opening up. It's humming along nicely, and hopefully that will continue as the variant gets under control and we can continue to open up.
Just quickly, how does that translate though into earnings forecasts? I mean, do you think out there now? Because as we were just chatting, weren't we? A little bit of a muted reaction to this Fed statement on the equity side, and then all of a sudden, quite a sharp down leg on Friday and carrying on this morning. And I'm just wondering, are analysts being a bit too aggressive in their forecast, do you think?
Analysts are always too aggressive in their earnings forecasts. They've got like a 50-year track record of being too aggressive and revising that. But what happens? Analysts are very positive about the companies, and then they revise down their forecast, and then the companies beat their new revised lower forecast. And that's the pattern.
It's all about managing expectations, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. But having said that, earnings forecasts have been going up, 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 in line with better economic data. It is actually quite a rosy picture for the next 6 months from a corporate fundamental perspective, both for equities, earnings have been going up, and also from a credit perspective, leverage, thanks to that, those earnings, leverage is also forecast to be coming down, at least for the next 6 months. We'll see what companies do at the beginning of next year. Maybe they'll start to do much more aggressive leveraging, M&A activity, LBOs, all those sorts of things. And you know, that could be a concern. But for right now, no, it's looking pretty rosy for companies.
we end these podcasts with a number where we ask you either to draw out a number from the hat and something that's happened in personally or business-wise. So what's the number you're going to choose for us this week, Ben, and why?
Yeah, so I don't think anyone's going to guess this number, but it's 976. There was a summit that we held for our clients last week, Sustainability Summit. And I was just thinking when I saw that number, 976, I suspect 2 years ago we'd have been lucky to get, 97 registrations for an ESG Sustainability Summit. But that just tells you, doesn't it, the level of interest in this. And the question, I suppose, is, have we reached peak ESG concern? Maybe this is everything's in the price, etc. And I was just talking to one of my colleagues actually the other day, and just reminded me that no, we're nowhere near the peak. He said that in order to hit the Paris aligned 1.5 degree goal that we're all trying to hit, we need to see the sort of carbon reduction that we saw last year during the COVID, the COVID pandemic.
No impact. Flying, no driving.
We need to repeat that reduction for the next 10, 15 years. So we need to have a COVID pandemic type of reduction for 10 to 15 years.
Great words, as always, Ben. Thank you so much for contributing, and thank you all for listening. Thanks a lot.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording, and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, www.elgin.com.